back in the Boss Man Show here with Adam Nelson. This is the owner of HoopDirt.com, one of my favorite sites to look at every day about the college basketball coaching changes and what's going on in college basketball news, wise assistant coaches. It's a great site, very informative. Adam, how are things with you and your family, man?
Everything's going okay, JR. You know, it's, you know, different time. We're up here in Boston. It's been, you know, pretty hard hit up here. We got four kids all hunkered in at home. You know, I know you're doing the same down there, and you know, just a different time, but we're all doing okay up here.
Adam, I hate I miss getting to see you when you came to town for the Final Four. A lot of my friends in the business, I really hate. We missed it because of the virus this year. It's really sad, you know. I was looking forward to having all you guys in town, meeting up with a lot of people, had plans, doing the sweatpant week there.
So, no. Yeah, you're right. I was looking forward to being down there. I was looking forward to connecting with you down there. And, you know, it's too bad that, you know, we all had to, you know, not be able to be down there. But we'll get back there at some point, yeah.
Yes, indeed. I was actually in Nashville at SEC tournament when I was told it was all done. And actually, my birthday is March 11th, right? So it was just where everything went down was on my birthday. So forever I would know my birthday was the day that everything got shut down in the U.S. I'm from COVID-19, you know, for the rest of my life.
I hear you.
So, you know, I want to talk to you about the carousel this year, man. It's been very, very light. One of my close friends lost a job in Rick Ray, which kind of hurt me a little bit, you know, knowing he's a great guy. He got screwed again. Like in Mississippi State, he got screwed there, too, in SEMO. But only a very few changes this year. Not the carousel, not like it used to be. Steve Forbes got a job at Wake Forest. Danny Manning will let go. So what are your thoughts on the carousel so far this year, man?
Yeah, it's been, you know, like you said, it's been really, really quiet. And, you know, obviously I think this COVID-19 has been the reason here. You know, over the last 5 years, the average number of openings has been 54 and a half Division I job openings a year. Right now on, you know, whatever, early May, wherever we are, there's only 23 Division I job openings. You know, 23 jobs have opened. So it's been less than half of what it usually does. It's been quiet. A lot of schools have been scared to pull the trigger. You know, you just mentioned Steve Forbes. That's the only Wake Forest was the only high major Division I job to open, you know, when they got rid of Danny Manning a couple weeks ago. So been really, really quiet. And to be quite honest, I mean, this has saved a lot of guys' jobs. You know, a lot of guys,
yes,
a couple years left, and, you know, it was kind of decision time. I think, you know, ADs, and rightfully so, are scared to pull the trigger just because it's such a tough time to navigate right now. It's a tough time with recruiting. You know, you bring in a new guy, it's hard to recruit right now. It's hard to pay buyout money right now. So, you know, obviously a lot of reasons for it, but this is really a job saving year for a lot of guys.
You got that right. And, you know, to have the only one high major opening, and it happened pretty much in like May 1st,
yeah.
That's like weird. And Danny Manning, you would think with that high buyout he had, which I hear that they're trying to contest it, say it's not as high as it was, I thought he was safe at least for one more year.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right there. I mean, you know, it's a reported $15 million buyout for Manning, and in this time to try to be able to pay that is nuts. And yeah, Wake Forest is fighting that. They're saying he do only half. He didn't meet some criteria. Who knows? I think they're going to duke that one out. But yeah, I mean, out of all the openings, you know, Manning had, you know, 3 years and $15 million. You think he would get some more time? I mean, you look at someone like Shaka Smart at Texas. You know, this may or may not have saved him. Jim Christian at Boston College probably saved, you know, definitely saved him. So I was definitely surprised at Manning. I think what surprised me more about Danny Manning was the timing, though, where, you know, the season ended, where the season was shut down and Wake had lost. And, you know, people knew this was coming. So why wait till now? Who knows? So that one surprised me a little bit just at the timing. But a lot of these other guys, I think, are very lucky to get another year. And quite frankly, be really curious to see what happens next year.
And I figure Steve Forbes went the year he had was going to be gone if it was a normal year. You know, he'll be gone anyway if you ask me if it's a normal year. But him to go to Wake Forest was still kind of in his wheelhouse because East Tennessee State and Wake Forest not that far away from each other. So I think it's kind of that same kind of regional footprint anyway. So he can bring his whole staff with him. And now, will they put Coach Shea in at ETSU as the interim and make him the full time? They're going to try to bring somebody from the outside, let Coach Shea go to Wake, Coach Forbes?
So that's, you know, great question. And I think that's one of again, because it's been so quiet on the coaching carousel right now, that's really the one story that I've been kind of focused on over the last couple of days. That's a really interesting situation because, you know, Shea has been with Forbes the whole time at East Tennessee State. He was with him when Forbes was the head coach at Northwest Florida. They had two great years there. They were together on the staff at Tennessee. Like, Shea should really be the guy that takes over at East Tennessee State. He's had a lot of success as an assistant, and he's in the mix. He, you know, reportedly he interviewed this weekend for the job. But, you know, there's got to be something there. If they haven't named him the head coach, like, quickly, there's definitely something there. So a lot of people are saying, you know, Chris Jans from New Mexico State is the other guy involved here. I've talked to a lot of people around this one, and there may be some others, but a lot of guys are telling me right now it's a two-horse race between Jans and Shea. So it's curious to see what happens. I think a lot of people are wanting Jans to get it because that means another Division I job opens up, and it makes, you know, maybe a little bit more movement on this carousel. But Jans has killed it over the last 3 years. He's gone 82-17, 42-3 in the WAC. You know, a guy with a big personality similar to Forbes, who kind of come in there and keep that thing rolling. So, you know, I don't know what – there's definitely something to this because Shea hasn't been named head coach already, which he still may. And to be quite honest, I hope he gets it because he deserves it. But we'll see what happens there.
Also, another big point, Adam, is this, the assistant pools. Now, with this COVID-19, those pools are probably getting shrunken more than usual, that you can't really pay guys what you want to pay them with the assistant pools kind of not being what they were, because we don't know where the money's coming from with no NCAA tournament, no money coming in. People, boosters not ready to put out money as they were because they're scared about their stock market investments or whatever the case may be. Money's not what it was. So how's we've heard about the assistant pools. How's that been going so far, this carousel?
Yeah, there has not been a lot of movement there either. You know, assistants aren't moving. You know, the head coaches aren't going, the assistants aren't going. And you're right, I think there is a lot of question about, like, where money's coming from in the future. You know, the NCAA tournament cancellation was a huge hit to not just the NCAA, but the individual colleges. Who knows what's going to happen with football season. You know, athletic departments are going to take a bath there too. So, yeah, assistant coaches' pools are not moving anywhere. But again, you know, the flip side of that coin is that's what saved a lot of jobs. You know, schools don't want to pay these buyouts. Again, you look at Boston College, you look at Texas, not wanting to pay 2 or 3 years of a buyout just because of the unknown financial future of the individual colleges and the NCAA. So I think it's definitely tough for a lot of people right now. It really, really, really did save a lot of jobs.
And what are your thoughts on Andy Kennedy, which is 2 hours from here in Birmingham, getting a job at UAB? I know I heard kind of about him early in the year about it, probably where he's heading to, which is kind of not fair to Rob Eason, but the fact that this film was done before he even got started, like, what are your thoughts on him getting that job there in UAB, and also in Bucky Miller getting the job there in Sanford right there in Birmingham as well?
Yeah, so two really good hires. Like you said, there hasn't been a lot of hirings right now, but those are two really good ones. You look at Andy Kennedy. You know, he's a UAB alum. And like you said, that one's been lined up for a long time. I mean, we were hearing that one in, you know, January, that there's going to be a change at UAB, and it's Andy Kennedy's, without a doubt. So, you know, that one happened quickly and not surprising. I think he'll do a good job there. Again, being a UAB guy, I think he really likes the place. I think he's a really good fit there. And then Bucky at Samford, what a great story that is. You know, to hire a high school coach, young guy in his 30s. He's had a ton of success at the high school level, local guy. You know, if you want to turn a program around, it's a pretty good way to do it, I think. You know, obviously no college recruiting experience. He's brought on some guys who can help him recruit. But I think it's a really cool story this offseason. And I think, you know, that's what you need to do to get some energy in some of these programs. Bring in someone who's going to bring that energy. Like, I think Bucky will. Same thing with Wake Forest. I mean, that program has been dead for the last 5-6 years. But I think Steve Forbes brings that energy to really turn that thing around, you know, engage his fan base, you know, get some excitement around the program. So I think Wake's done a really good job. And I think Samford really did a good job with that hire. And I know a lot of people questioned it. We actually had it first, well before it happened, with some really good sources down there. And people were, you know, tweeting at me, telling me there's no way they were going to hire a high school coach. You know what? They did, and I really, really like that hiring. I think they did a really good job there.
I had him on the show last week. He was a great interview. 10 minutes with Bucky last week, man. He did a great job and really sold me on it and invited me over there to come see them play. So I'll definitely come over there to Birmingham and see them guys play right 2 hours from the house. So no, not an issue there. And my buddy Mark Byrington is moving to James Madison. He's from Virginia, so I get that move. And then placing with Brian Burke from Texas Tech. So how about that swap with my man Mark going to James Madison and Brian coming in behind Mark there in Statesboro?
Yeah, again, two good moves. I mean, solid moves. Mark had done a really nice job at Georgia Southern, and he's a Virginia guy. CAA is a better conference. He's making more money, so I think he'll be successful there. And then, you know, Brian Burke at Georgia Southern. You know, Brian was on the staff at Texas Tech. They've been really, really good under Chris Beard. You know, Brian's another one of these basketball lifers, getting a shot at a Division I head coaching job. So, Georgia Southern's a good place. You know, Mark Byington showed that you can win there, and hopefully Brian Burke can do the same. But, you know, as far as hirings go this offseason, you know, two pretty good hirings.
Now, what I was confused by is Bryce Drew to Grand Canyon. That just kind of threw me off. I ain't going to tell you, I didn't see that one coming. I saw Bryce was doing TV. He's still kind of in the Nashville area. We texted for, you know, we still cover your text or what have you, but I don't see him going to Grand Canyon. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting job out there. I think they have a lot of money to throw around. Bryce Drew obviously did a really good job at Valpo. Struggled, obviously, at Vanderbilt. Didn't have a lot of time there. They got rid of him after year three. He can obviously really coach. He's a good guy. And I think, you know, one of the things that you hear a lot about Grand Canyon is they feel like they should be like Butler or Xavier, kind of one of those teams that's always in like the Sweet 16, maybe battling for an Elite Eight, and they just never got there under Dan Marley. So I think they threw a lot of money at Bryce Drew. You know, guy with a good name, you know, squeaky clean guy. He can really coach. So I think that's why he's the choice there. And there was a lot of rumors before they hired Bryce Drew that it was going to be Rick Pitino. Again, you lure him out there with the, you know, the temperature, the climate in Arizona, and the money. But ultimately, you know, Pitino obviously took the Iona job and they hired Bryce Drew. So I think, you know, I think it's a good hire. I think he'll do well there. I don't know if they can ever get to the level that they want to get to. But I think, that, you know, for them, it's a good hire.
And I'm happy about UC Wilmington and Takeo Siddle getting a job there because, you know, Kevin Keats is a friend of mine, but the Wolfpack wants too much for him. And I think he's in trouble next year. So to Kale getting out while he can now get his takeover where he was at previously with Coach Keats, it's a great move for Kale, if you ask me.
I think so too. He knows the place. You know, you said he was there with Coach Keats. They were really successful there, and I think it's a good hire. I mean, they really struggled under CB McGrath, and you know, Rob Burke did a nice job as the interim, but it's hard to keep an interim from a staff that where you already fired the head coach and to bring someone back in that's been on a staff that's had success there. Yeah, especially a young, hungry guy. You know, same thing I mentioned earlier. It's what you need. You got to energize these fan bases. With UNC Wilmington not having success recently, I think that's a really, really good, really strong hire for them.
And last one I got for you, I think it's a good swap. Jeff Linder going to Wyoming, another good friend of mine named Rachel Steve, with Steve Smiley. Great move by North Colorado, promoting from within. A guy who Coach Linder got people with for a long time. They're both friends. He's worked for as well. So I feel like you have a guy who knows the area. He can get keeps continuity going. Same thing on South Dakota State did last year with Coach Henderson. Same thing. So promote from within, keep it rolling, and go from there.
Yeah, you're right. I think obviously Jeff Linder is a great hire at Wyoming. He definitely had some success in Northern Colorado. I was disappointed they got rid of Allen Edwards at Wyoming, though. Obviously, he didn't have the success he needed to, but he really got hot towards the end, won a couple of games in the league tournament. But, you know, it happened. But it's a good hire by Linder. And you're right, though. I think the most important thing is with Northern Colorado promoting Steve Smiley. You want to show loyalty to these assistants. He's been a really good right-hand man for Linder for all those years. I said they've had success. Same thing that we were talking about earlier at East Tennessee State, you know, kind of the reason Jason Shea should be promoted. He's been there the whole time. They've had success. He knows they can keep that thing rolling. But, you know, it's a good thing when you've had success and you get an assistant promoted like that. I think it's a good thing for Steve Smiley. I think it's a good thing for the Northern Colorado program.
Now, I want to keep it right here in Georgia. I think that Tom Crean and Josh Patterson, who Josh Patterson is a friend of mine, Tom Crean and I don't see eye to eye, but I can be honest about that. Trust me about that. We'll see eye to eye much. But do you think they're in trouble next year? Because I feel like Josh needs to win next year or he's done, and Tom Crean could be feeling the pressure from Athens if he don't get nothing done. With just with Joe Scott leaving the Air Force and bringing back Steve McClain, who's been with him for years, but you know, I just don't see how that's going to work up there. And Athens with my man leaving the NBA could be a full future Hawk as well. So, and Josh not being really engaged with the Atlanta community as he could, being a coach of Georgia Tech over there.
I think Pastner's going to have a problem at Georgia Tech after this, you know, after this season. You know, four pretty unsuccessful seasons there. I mean, I guess they were three games over 500 this year. It's better. He's 65-67 in his 4 years there. They've had an NIT appearance. If there was a postseason, they were banned from it this year. And it's interesting you say if he hasn't engaged with the Atlanta people. I mean, I just don't think that's going to turn out too well. Plus, you know, all the off the court drama. If I'm a betting man, it's time to move on, and they're going to move on. The Tom Crean of Georgia stuff is an interesting one too. You know, a lot of people have been talking about that. You know, two seasons there, they did improve a little bit. I think losing Joe Scott to Denver, I do think hurts him because Joe's a really good basketball guy. Joe's a really good X's and O's guy, and I know he's comfortable with McClain. He was with him for a long time. So it's interesting to see how that'll play out. But I just, you know, there may be some talk about him being on a hot seat, about Tom King being on a hot seat next year, and that's fine. I mean, that's warranted. You're at the high major level, and you're not winning like you should. You know, there's that talk, but I can't see – Georgia making a move after year three with Tom Crean, especially if they get a little better. You know, he went from 11-21 his first season, 16-16 last season. You got to think they're going to they have to show a little bit of improvement. But I can't see them moving on after 3 years. Pastner, yep, can see that. Crean, I just can't see that right now.
Yeah, because you know it's bad when Rob Lanier and Amir Abdul-Rahim are in the city more than you are at Georgia Tech. You know, I'm just. And Josh is my friend. I tell him all the time, you should get out more in the city.
You know,
but he doesn't do it. You know, he's my friend. I told him this to his face. I'll say what I'm saying to you. I'll say to him in private. Get out in the city, engage. Get people to come out there. I mean, you're in the heart of Atlanta. Let's do this. You know,
right.
Georgia State should not be Atlanta school. It should be Georgia Tech. But I get it. Georgia State's more for people who can afford it in the city of Atlanta. But Georgia Tech should really be the big thing in Atlanta. And you're not doing it. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing I hate about it. But Josh is kind of stuck in his ways. He's my friend, but that's how he is.
Yeah, but you're right. But you know what? You can't be stuck in your ways, especially at the high major level. Like, you have to be out. You have to be the face of the program. And I keep saying it. You have to, you know, generate interest. You have to create a buzz. And, you know, Winston-Salem is nowhere near the size of Atlanta, right? You better believe Steve Forbes will be all over Winston-Salem, all over the state of North Carolina. Just creating a buzz, you know, getting in people's faces, yelling at them, telling them to come to see Wake Forest basketball, making it exciting again. And you have to be out there. You have to pound the pavement. You have to make yourself, you know, visible. You got to be known. You got to create that buzz. You got to generate that buzz. And, you know, if Josh Pastner's not doing it at the, you know, high major ACC level in a huge city like Atlanta, that's a problem.
Yes, indeed. Well, Adam, thank you for your time as always, buddy. It's been great again to get you back on the show, man. Cover this carousel, man. Be safe up there in Boston. We'll talk to you real soon, man.
JR, I appreciate you having me, and look forward to catching up with you soon.
All right, man. It's Adam Nelson here on the Boss Man Show. Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, what's better, the Boss Man Show? Time for the JC Sports Report with my man, JC Smith, host of the Essential As Blank podcast with his folks in Memphis, Tennessee. My man, JC, how's quarantine life, brother, going for you guys down there in the 901, man?
Boss, what's good, man? Hey, we coping, man. We maintaining, you know, staying strong up here, man. Just trying to follow all the rules and, you know, just take it day by day, man.
Bruh, are y'all doing, people doing Atlanta wild in West End Mall, doing donuts in the West End Mall, biker clubs filled up, fighting at Cumberland Mall with the Mortal Kombat Power Rangers kick my man did at the mall, that fight there. Then you got people in line for Jordan at Jimmy Jazz at Greenbrier Mall. So y'all tripping like that in Memphis, we're tripping over here in ATL, man.
Nah, we ain't wilding out like that, man. I think if anything, it's kind of like low key here as far as house parties and, you know, cars kind of peeling out, you know, in certain areas, neighborhoods showing out. But as far as, you know, at the malls and showing out like that, nah, it ain't happened here yet, but I'm sure it's going to come, though.
No doubt. Well, bro, we're going to get into the lad dance today. First, I want to talk about the coaching carousels. Being some stories about the Rockets potentially wanting to bring in Jeff Van Gundy as the new head coach, because I don't think they'll bring back Mike D'Antoni. That negotiations are going terribly right now. And they said Van Gundy wanted to come back before they hired D'Antoni, but Leslie Alexander, the old owner, who fired Van Gundy, did not want him back. No, Daryl Morey wanted Van Gundy. Also, Mark Jackson was out in the news saying he helps to coach again one day. If I'm Mark Jackson, bro, I got a cush job doing ESPN. I know I want to coach, but that's a guaranteed $2 million a year for Mark Jackson. Just a cush job. I don't know about that. And Tom Thibodeau, we know he burns people out. Minnesota and Chicago and the Knicks and the Rockets. I don't think none of them players would want to play for Tom Thibodeau in his rigid old ways. What are your thoughts, bro?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like the out with the old, in with the old, as far as the rumors and everything, man. And, you know, in today's NBA, man, like you said, you know, Thibodeau's an old-school defensive-minded. You know, he's going to run his guys to the ground. I think Van Gundy is under the same, same notion as well. You know, an old-school guy, defense first. I think Van Gundy could probably adapt better than Thibodeau in today's NBA. But, like I said, you want to give other guys a chance, man. Young guys, young innovative guys, they're offensive-minded. The way the league is going, man. Like I said, I would rather see Mark Jackson get another chance to coach as opposed to Jeff Van Gundy, because the way that, you know, Mark Jackson was doing at Golden State, you know, I think he above anybody should be number one on any owner's list or GM's list for, you know, as far as a retread coach to bring back into the league, man.
Exactly. He's young. He's young enough to do it as well. And also, NBA facilities are going to reopen this week. And some states that are open now. What are your thoughts on the facilities reopening as well? The NFL also released the plan. The facilities open up on May 15th. So what are your thoughts about the facilities opening, logouts to work at the facility, but with really no games in sight coming without proper testing and bubbles and be able to contact trace and test and a plan for what happens when a guy does test positive? Do you quarantine the whole team or just that guy? You just roll the dice? So what are your thoughts, bro?
I mean, it's interesting, boss, as far as that goes, because everything's up in the air. You know, everybody, of course, we all want to get back, you know, get back to sports and, get everything opening up again. But, man, you got to be careful. You got to be cautious. You know, like I said, at this point, there's no talks of a vaccine until, what, maybe early next year? So,
at minimum.
Yeah, at minimum. So, like I said, you are running the risk of players, you know, getting the virus, and then at that point, are we right back at square one, and we got to shut it back down again, man. So there's so many questions, you know, and everybody has, you know, proposed plans of how to do it. But like I said, you know, once somebody, you know, tests positive for Corona again, then what? Are we right back at square one? And you know, I think at this point, man, you just pretty much, I say until the fall, you know, don't worry about any sports this summer, man. Just, you know, go here, you know, just keep as scheduled, and then we'll come back to it, you know, during the fall. But right now, I wouldn't. If I was a player, I don't know if I want to come back and play right now, man.
And what if you are a Greg Popovich or Mike D'Antoni or Brett Brown, guy in your mid-60s or early 70s as Popovich is, and you're in a vulnerable category? A lot of times we're forgetting about these coaches who are very much older with diabetes and blood pressure, right, and things, comorbidities. That think about them too. Are we risking putting our coaches in harm's way now as well, just
exactly,
for the sake of playing?
Right. You got to take that into account also, man. Like, I do not envy Adam Silver right now and the decision that he has to make going forward, man. That's tough, man, because you're going to get criticism either way it goes, whatever you do. You know, nobody's going to be 100% happy with whatever the decision is, but that's a tough spot to be in. But you're right, you got to take into consideration, you know, the older coaches and, you know, God forbid that, you know, one of those older guys, you know, would come down with it, and then, man, that wouldn't be good at all, man.
No doubt. Let's turn to the lad, Dance. Dance Rodman. Let's start an episode, bro. Rodman working with the Bad Boy Pistons. They traded him after he went, kind of slept with Fussy, but at the Palace of Auburn Hills to San Antonio, who didn't hit in with the Bulls, and the Bulls kind of let him, Dennis, do Dennis, but then Dennis, you know, would play when he wanted to play, and when Scottie Pippen was out, Mike needed him more, and Dennis Rodman liked that. When Scottie came back, he's like the dreaded third wheel again, and he kind of went, like, you know, off the grid again, and he needed a vacation in Las Vegas, and supposedly Jordan had to go get him with Carmelo Electra in the room. So, what are your thoughts on the episode, brother, of the Lad Dance, man, with Dennis Rodman and them boys?
Hey, like you said, you know, I'm tuned in to each and every episode. I'm reliving my childhood once again. And I thought I knew everything, but like you said, I find out new things here and there in regards to, you mentioned Dennis Rodman. I think it was a perfect storm, man, that Dennis, you know, landed with the Bulls. Because just imagine if Dennis Rodman would have gone anywhere else after, you know, the 2 years with the Spurs, and, you know, he pretty much burned himself out there and, you know, pretty much turned everybody against him as far as inside the organization. And the team, you know, David Robinson couldn't stand Dennis Rodman, so they were ready to get rid of him. And Greg Popovich was the GM of the Spurs who made that trade with the Bulls to get rid of Dennis Rodman, man. So just imagine if Rodman would have ended up anywhere else other than Chicago at that time. Rodman may have been out of the league, you know, a year or two after that. He may have had, you know, a year stint here, a year stint there, because it would only work with a coach like Phil Jackson. It would only work with the greatest of all time, like Michael Jordan. You know, it would only work with a Scottie Pippen, guys that knew Dennis Rodman, knew the player that he was, but also knew that Dennis had to be Dennis. And, you know, you had to give him a little leeway. You had to give him a little rope there as far as allowing him to do what he wanted to do, because you knew at the end of the day, you know, and definitely Jordan knew at the end of the day, hey, this guy can help me win championships. And Phil Jackson had to, you know, handle him with kid gloves. Like, you had to know when to be stern and know when to kind of lay off with Dennis Rodman. So it all worked out perfectly, man. And Dennis Rodman, at the end of the day, even though he was going to do him, he had the utmost respect for Michael Jordan, for Scottie Pippen, because he knew, you know, the caliber of players that they were. And at the end of the day, Rodman was a dog, man. He was out there on the floor. You knew he was going to give you, you know, all 100% of everything that he had. And off the floor, you know, he didn't have to be friends with those guys. He could be able to do, you know, do his own thing. So it all was like a perfect storm. It all came together perfectly, man, to the point, you know, like I said, you know, 6 championships in 8 years. And, you know, the still got some more episodes to go. Boss, I don't know if you saw the Horace Grant episode where they said Horace Grant was snitching, you know, telling Sam Smith, you know, some of the details going on, you know, inside the locker room that led to that book, The Jordan Rules, which I read back in the day as a kid, man. And then also another story I heard about recently where Michael Jordan, you know, he was a tough guy with his teammates to the point where, you know, if Horace Grant had a bad game, you know, and they're on the team plane going back home, Michael would tell the stewardess not to serve Horace Grant dinner, telling him, hey, don't serve him, don't feed him. Man, that's tough, man. Another grown man telling you can't eat, bro. How? How did that happen?
Houseway. Yeah. And also the story about, you know, how he, his mama, you know, he was the Adidas guy. He liked the Adidas. Yeah. But they weren't really, you know, but his mama pushing him to that direction opened up for this Jordan brand conglomerate with Nike, and how Be Like Mike and his commercials, he said his basketball was the reason he had those commercials. I mean, just think about this, his mother pushing him in that direction got him the way he is now with Nike.
Yeah, man, like, hey, mom is the real MVP, man. She's the real president of Nike when it boils down to it. You know, I can even imagine Michael Jordan, you know, playing in some Adidas or Converse in the NBA. I know he played in both in college, but in Adidas and Converse. But, man, just think, no Air Jordan. I mean, even the Air Jordan, it would have been Air Jordan line with Converse and Nike. I mean, Converse and Adidas. But at that point in time, Converse, you know, didn't really see, you know, a scenario where a rookie could come into the league and have his own shoe. You know, so like I said, it was the perfect opportunity for Nike. You know, because they were, like I said, you know, looked at it as, you know, maybe it was the third best sneaker at that time. So it was a perfect opportunity for them. And then also, keep in mind, boss, you know, their projections, you know, when they signed Jordan and Nike and were going to come out with their first Air Jordan, their projections were going to hopefully sell away. Maybe, you know, a couple $100,000 worth of shoes. And it ended up like, what, almost $100 million, man. So I think the projection was like $3 million. They were hoping to do $3 million in sales initially, and they ended up doing over $100 million off their first pair of Air Jordans. Man, that's crazy, man. That's gold. It was just like I said, perfect opportunity, man, where they could just strike, and they never looked back ever since then, man.
And bro, you know, I was a little bit younger when Jordan was winning his first round of championships. I was like 4, 5, and 6. I had no idea that Mike Fratello, the czar, worked the NBA on NBC with Marv Albert in 91, 92, 93.
Oh, yeah.
And Magic Johnson's no talking butt would come in for the finals with him. I had no idea until this documentary. Because I was like 4, 5, and 6, 8, 6 then when they first 91, 92, 93.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mention that. I've been going back watching the old games on ESPN Plus and everything, watching those old finals games. And yeah, man, that was the golden age of the NBA on NBC. Matter of fact, that was the first year. Jordan's first year when they won the finals, the first year that NBC started broadcasting NBA games. And, Magic Johnson joined in on the telecast. Whose game is it? It's Michael Jordan's game. That's my favorite Magic Johnson line from when he was a broadcaster on the games there, man. But, yeah, it didn't get no better than that. And hearing the opening song, come on, man.
Round ball rock, you know.
Yeah, John Tesh. It didn't get no better than that, man. And I wish they could go back to those old telecast formats like that and the music and everything, but yeah, that was the best time to be an NBA fan to me, man.
Yes, indeed. And also, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, they got on him for going to gamble Atlantic City. And that Nick series there, and you know, he liked to gamble here with my man who headed to go testify in court for Augusta
right.
guy.
Right.
I mean, you know, Michael Jordan loved to gamble, but if you got the money to trick off, I mean, do your thing as long as it don't, you know, come back and bite you.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine them reporting that now and how it wouldn't be a big deal. You know, and I really don't understand why it was such a big deal then. You know, as long as Michael Jordan wasn't pulling a Pete Rose, you know, and betting on the games, and you know, by all accounts, he wasn't doing that. He was betting on himself. You know, as long as he's betting on himself outside of the game, like, whose business is it? Like, why was it? I guess, you know, during that time, they felt like, you know, of course, when somebody gets so big, you know, it's always going to be somebody trying to pull him back down a little bit, bring him back down to earth. And, like, they had to do something, get something on Jordan. And that was the only thing they could find on him at that time was the gambling. So they made a big deal about it, and speculation and rumors, and it got to a point where, you know, I think even before Jordan's dad died and Mike set out those a year and a half, I think Michael Jordan was probably leaning towards leaving the game anyway, because he was just tired of all the criticism and, you know, everybody in his business, and, you know, at a certain point, you know, that can get very, you know, very, very tiresome, and it could be a burden, man. And Jordan, you know, he pretty much didn't feel like there was any other, you know, any other peak or any, you know, another level that he could get to in the NBA at that point, and everybody's, you know, coming down him for his gambling, you know, something that's not even their business. So, yes, I'm pretty sure at that time he probably thought, you know what, to hell with it. I don't need this. Let me dip for a minute, you know, get my mind right. And then when his dad passed away, when his dad was murdered, that pretty much sealed it as far as him definitely stepping down for a year and a half there.
Yeah, and he came back as 45. I remember that very
well. Yeah, man.
It's 45. So, yeah, I mean, it's been interesting. Oh, yeah, and the Dream Team practices, that Dream Team practice where, you know, they Magic Johnson talking junk to Michael Jordan. He went off in practice and went to crap talking them all and ended up winning the practice in the Dream Team, and how he made a power play or political move using the flag to cover up the Reebok on the on the uniform or the jumpsuit there, mm-hmm. the Tony Kukoc thing, and how him and Scottie Pippen sell out to, you know, punk Tony Kukoc there.
Right, right. Yeah, man. Poor Tony. He didn't stand a chance, man. But, yeah, you know, when you talk about the Dream Team and the greatest team ever assembled, and, you know, all the players on that team, except Isaiah Thomas, that's a whole nother story, man. But Michael was just so driven. You know, like, say what you want as far as Mike off the court, you know, him not wanting to take a stand as far as politics or anything like that. But on the court, man, like, the guy was just so driven to win, man, and to a point where he was just, you know, diabolical. And the tactics he would use, you know, to try to inspire other guys to get on his level. You know, Mike, you know, was something, you know, that we'll never see again as far as somebody that, you know, maybe Kobe was the next closest thing, but somebody that driven to win, man, and surrounded by all those other all-stars on the Dream Team, and how Mike just had to be the best regardless, man, at anything he did, whether it was practice, playing cards, golf. Like, Mike had to win and win at all costs, man. And, you know, somebody with that much drive, you will never see that ever again.
And, you know, I also kind of looked at the series as Phoenix and kind of highlight, you know, Phoenix had some chances. They was up late in some games there, and the Bulls just had the belief more. They could execute in the crunch time. But I didn't realize how really close that series was, Phoenix and the Bulls, that Phoenix had some chances had they not just, you know, made a shot or two here and there. It's truly, like Jeff McGinnis says, a make or miss lead.
Right, right. You know, I think Phoenix series 93 and then the Utah series that last year. Oh, no, sorry, 97. 97, 98, they played the Jazz back-to-back. Those are probably the toughest finals the Bulls had during that run as far as being pushed to the brink there. Yeah, but Phoenix got down early in that series. They were down 0-2 to the Bulls there, and, you know, had to kind of fight and claw to get back into that series. But that was a very talented Phoenix team. You know, Charles Barkley, MVP that year. You talk about All-Star and Kevin Johnson and Dan Marley. You had some players on that squad, man, and they, you know, they definitely you know, gave the Bulls some problems here and there. But being the fact that they went down 0-2 pretty much sealed the fate that Phoenix was going to lose that series.
No doubt. Well, bro, I tell you what, man, we're going to watch this documentary here on Sunday, Mother's Day, coming up here. We'll watch that, and we'll recap some more of that next week. And we'll also look at the NFL contingency schedule, because schedule release is coming out, but we all know those dates are in pencil.
Right, right, exactly. To be determined, right, at this point.
Yes, indeed. Well, bro, hold it down, man. Good catching with you as always. As always, brother, be safe. We'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, boss. Appreciate you, bro.
That's J.C. Smith, him, the Boss Man Show. Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to
love? Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Time for our weekly segment, Florida Man and Florida Woman News, here on the Boss Man Show. The Boss with my man, Bone. Bone, what's good up in New Jersey, my brother?
Man, we're all chilling. We're all safe. Good to be here today. But, you know, like I said, the schools in this area are closed down, so my son is happy. And we're just chilling, man, kicking it.
I hear that. And Bone, on Twitter, I showed you a picture of the idiocy here in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Greenbrier Mall, where clowns were lined up for 5 hours to get Jordans from Jimmy Jazz at Greenbrier Mall, which also a COVID-19 testing site here in Georgia. So I feel like a lot of them will be heading there when they start coughing and sneezing and won't be seen at the hospital because their idiot asses went out to stay in line without masks on to get some Jordans at Jimmy Jazz.
I mean, Well, I mean, I'm not even a big fan of Jace. So I don't understand, like, why the line is from Jordan's, man. I was never, like, a big Jordan advocate. I wasn't really the kind of guy, oh, I need the new Jays. So now, of all times, I definitely know new Jays, man. I'm not really saying life and death or some Jordans. These people, they all need a steel chair to the head.
Exactly. And furthermore, people were at Piedmont Park in Midtown Atlanta for a Blue Angels flyover in the middle of a pandemic.
Man, why? It's as stupid as stupid does, man. That makes no sense.
Additionally, in East Atlanta, there was a biker club popping off with people close in action. There was a kickback pop-up at the West End Mall here in Atlanta. And there were some clubs open up on the low, hole in the walls. So, in 2-3 weeks here in Georgia, we're going to be like probably New York and New Jersey because of the idiocy. And also, a lot of people have been put in the ground. Those funeral home commercials will be even more after all the people that be popping off and falling off the wave because they was idiots. Went to places they shouldn't have went. Because, see, there's some problem with the COVID-19 is bone. You think you're good, but then also it hits you like a brick and you're done.
Yeah, exactly. And isn't the CDC Atlanta?
It is. Right down street from the Capitol. The dumb governor can see it from his damn window.
Oh, the irony of the CDC in that city, and that state is going buck wild now. The irony.
Yes, we had a temporary Georgia man segment. But now we get to the main course here. So, folks, you've been waiting on it. It's time for it. It's here. It's the Boss Report. Gonna start you off with the worst bone. Florida man cut off his Johnson after his woman told him his thing was too small.
So the joke should be, did he even find it? So it was that small. I can't relate. But I'm just saying, like, if you had that problem with your woman, why are you cutting it off? Just find a new woman who may appreciate that little bit of talent you got. I mean, why are you cutting it off?
I don't get it.
That's the question I always think about. Why are you cutting up your junk to fight a woman? That makes no sense.
Oh,
I'll show her.
Oh, it gets worse. Florida man cuts off his Johnson after he sprayed the ice cream inside of her mouth rather than swallow the ice cream. She spit it out, so he cut off the Johnson.
The rationale. I mean, these people, they got me high. I mean, one time I, like, cut my finger, cut some carrots and celery, and that hurt like a mug, man. And that was my finger. I can't imagine the pain tolerance you have to cut through all the way through your Johnson, right? What kind of pain threshold do you have?
What kind of weapons do these men carry with them to be able to cut themselves off at a moment's notice? What weapon are you carrying with you to do this? To saw yourself off like this?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, like, and you know, what do you carry in your pocket? And as you're going through the act, you think it's twice. Aren't you having a second thought? Aren't you having, like, a second feeling? Maybe it's not a good idea.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. There's two more to go like this, Bone. And this, I'm just going to get them out of the way now so we can get this horrible thread over with. Here we go. Florida man was arrested to cut his Johnson off in Walmart after he was not given a Subway sandwich at the Walmart Subway for free.
Ew. Now, first of all, the lead is he got mad at not because he couldn't have a Subway sandwich. Man, Subway is, to me, trash. So, I mean, I hope they're not a sponsor here, but
they're not.
Anyway, okay, I'm not a Subway fan to begin with, so I don't understand the hoopla over Cutler Johnson for not getting a sandwich. Like, again, if you're going to cut off your Johnson, who does that serve? Because you're not getting Subway sandwich and you don't have a Johnson.
Exactly. And the last one is a story I figured it happens a lot in the world, but not this far. But Florida man is arrested after going off on woman who he cut grass for, how she refused to give him some in exchange for her lawn being cut, he cut himself off after the encounter with the woman.
So, again, what does that serve? Like, did he cut it off and then put it in a box and then give it to her? Like, souvenir? Like, what did he do? And why? Because he's doing manual labor for her, and then he wasn't getting none in return, so he cuts off his Johnson. How about then stop cutting her lawn, then? That would teach her. That would show her a lot more than cut up your Johnson, man.
My thoughts are second. I don't get it. Oh, man. Florida man arrested for camping at Walt Disney World's abandoned Discovery Island. The 40-something-year-old camper said, I'm staying here for a week to get my freak on with Pornhub.
Is he homeless? Like, because Pornhub is free now for everyone. So is he homeless? He doesn't have the spot to go to? And why Mickey Mouse more places?
Exactly. Places.
Is that a fetish? Like, what is, I don't understand. Is he big on costumes? Like, I don't understand. Why would you go there to, you know, whack it off for a whole week? I mean, and why not just go get a no-tell motel for like $20 a night? Like, what? I don't understand the rationale of people, man.
Exactly. This guy's even worse. Florida man throws urine on prosecutor doing sentencing in a Fort Lauderdale court. Oh, that's court even open right now.
I'll tell you now, if I'm a prosecutor, I'm kick off my tie and my jacket and I'm whooping that man's behind, right? I'm losing all professionalism. I'm losing all my cursing points on some dude throwing urine on me.
Yeah, in court. And my other question, why is court even open right now? West Florida.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Get this. Florida man handpicked by dummy Ron DeSantis to be Broward County Sheriff admits to killing somebody as a teen.
Man, he admitted to kill someone?
Yes, as a teen.
As a teen, so is that like limitations? Like, he can't get locked up now for that? Or what's the ruling on that? Because it's so long ago, right?
Yeah, it's been 35 years.
Yeah, and Florida already is like the Wild Wild West, so they probably just overlooked it to begin with, allegedly. So, because, we've seen stories about people getting murdered and dudes walking away scot-free. So, I like what is ramifications for this? I don't understand.
And he's a brother, too. And he's a brother.
Oh, he's a brother. Oh, that changes a whole lot of things. Oh, I thought it was one of those, things where the victim was the brother and the sheriff was not one of us. And he just walked away and got free. Because that seems like more Florida-type thing. But he's a brother doing this. Wow. So does he get locked up for this?
Don't know. But they're looking into his file even more, they say.
And he admitted it outright? Or was it just, on Earth?
He admitted it outright in part of the vetting process.
He must have a strong conscience where he's like, I can't take it anymore, man. I got to come clean. But to wait 33 years, I guess, kind of ain't that big.
Exactly. Get this. Florida man knocks out Uber Eats driver with a steel chair for not leaving his order where he told him to.
But don't they have, like, I never used Uber Eats, but don't they have, like, a note section in the app where you can say, leave it? I guess homeboy didn't listen. He put it where it should have been.
Yeah, he got hit with a steel chair because of it.
So that caused a steel chair to the head. Like, I don't know. Like, is that his tip? Like, I don't know. Like, how do you do? And what kind of rating do you get from this? Like, you hit with a chair, man. That's not going to be rating, I don't think.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. Florida man takes free food from school and nutrition program meant for students and sells it for profit on the streets in his food truck.
Oh, that is wild and grimy, man. That is so dirty. I was like, that's a serious matter right now in this country with, those kids who are home from school who all depends on the food service. And now this cat is stealing it and profiting off it.
Yes.
Oh, man, listen, that is it. There's a That's a room in hell for a guy like that, man. So I hope he packs lightly wherever he's going afterwards.
Exactly. And five Florida men, just after the Grim Reaper, are now patrolling Florida beaches now, up and down the coast.
I don't see some sight around your family. First of all, you are a dumbass. It's going to be anyway with your family. But I would say a fact would be to see a bunch of Grim Reapers just walking around and on the beach, man. And just like saying, you're going to die soon. Like, that must be a tripping
thing. But what about you? You're on the beach too. And you're in an all-black outfit.
Yeah. And like we said last week, those guys who are in the outfit, they must have dehydration. And they might join these people soon, man. Because that's a lot of heat in those black suits on the beach, man.
Exactly. Man, oh man. Florida man knocks out pastor with a 2x4 who came by to give him communion.
What, the devil? Like, why was he hitting dudes on the head with 2x4?
Exactly, because I guess he wanted to come to his house to give him communion, I guess, and knocked him in the head with a 2x4.
So we had the chair shot, and then we had the hacksaw Jim Duggan assault. So, I mean, it's not bad. It's getting a little better.
Exactly. Get this. Florida man abducts scientists to make his dog immortal.
God. What? Man, is dog immortal?
Some scientists make his dog immortal. Yeah, that's why he couldn't happen. Like, really?
It's a dog. I mean, I love dogs and all, but you're going through a lot of trouble, man. I feel extra. You're going through a lot of trouble for a dog, man.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Oh my God. Get this. Florida woman, 32, charged after she exposed herself and used multiple sex toys while on video call with her inmate boyfriend while her young children were in the background cheerleading.
Oh my God. Cheerleading?
Yes.
But they're rooting them on like two live crew videos.
Exactly.
Come on, man. Go ahead, mama, pop. Come on. What is going on in this world? What is going on with your home state?
I have no idea. I don't know what's going on in Georgia either.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. It's heading north, man. The brain cells are all dying, going north.
Exactly.
I'm worried, I guess.
Exactly. Oh, my God. A Florida man destroys neighbor with a metal bat after catching dog crapping on his property for the fourth time this week.
After four times. I mean, he probably told him, too, the first two times, right? To, keep your mingy dog on my property, right? So after the third or fourth time, I'm not saying that the guy should get beaten or assaulted with a bat, but I kind of understand the anger from that neighbor, man.
Exactly. And get this. Florida man's Luke Bryan's bar defies the state orders, holds karaoke night this past weekend. They'll all be dead.
So karaoke night in a bar, right? So the bar's probably packed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're passing around this metal microphone that has COVID all over it, probably. So they're just passing around each other. They're all
just
really bad, really
soon. Yes, indeed. Florida man accused of skipping quarantine after New York trip beats down person who told on him with their rotting mower and rake.
Well, you know the slogan, man, in about stitches.
Get stitches.
He kept it real, man. He's like, look, you know the slogan. Bitches get stitches, and I'm going to show you how. Happy ratted me out. So I'm not emphasizing assault and beat down, but you know the code of the street, man. But again, these are different times where dudes walking around with a deadly virus. You gotta kind of like stay in your lane, stay home, man. But if you get pissed on, it's really your fault in the end.
Correct. Florida woman arrested after assaulting her boyfriend with a candy cane during an argument out there in which he came too fast after an activity.
Ooh. So she beat him in a candy cane?
Yeah, because he came too fast during an activity.
Like, But what kind of candy cane? Like a big giant
one? A giant one that she had left over from Christmas.
So she beat him with it, so it wasn't inserted anywhere, right?
No.
Okay, all right. Because I was getting a little queasy when you said she beat him, assaulted him with a candy cane. I don't know how.
Like, yeah, it was one of them big, big powder whoops.
Yeah, I was just hoping that it was like some kind of prison scene in a shower scene or something.
Yeah, he wasn't sticking up his candy ass, literally.
Yeah, literally. I'll work for him. That's messed up, man. It really is.
Woo-wee. Florida man on the loose. I'm still selling over $1 million in fentanyl from the local CVS.
He stole it?
Mm-hmm.
Fentanyl?
Mm-hmm.
And how much he steal?
$1 million worth of it from CVS on the loose.
$1 million for what? How is that much fentanyl in CVS? And how did he pull it off?
He's a brother, too. And a brother, too.
Oof.
After hours, you're ready. You're right, after hours.
That's another show. After hours, but how much are they packing in there? Man. And he's still on the loose, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He's probably long gone, man. They ain't catch that boy.
Nah, ain't catching him. Ain't catching him. Florida man and DEA agent arrest after stealing PPE from agency warehouse.
Why?
That's exactly why.
Why? Why are you stealing PPE? Why? What is your end game? What's your purpose? What's your mission for this? Was there a drug testing thing or?
No, they stole PPE, what the nurses need. The personal protective equipment.
Oh, thank God. I really thought you meant PPE. Like pee.
PPE, yeah.
Oh, thank God. Okay, that changes everything for me. I'm still wrong. Again, like, we need this stuff. We need PPEs out there. Why is a shortage of, why are you stealing from them? But I will say, thank goodness it wasn't PPE. Because that would make the story even weirder.
Well, we got our P story for you, kind of right on the cue here.
Oh, no.
Florida man arrested after peeing on a woman sunning on the beach on South Beach. He peed on her.
What?
Said that, you know.
So they let
yes. He so said.
They let R. Kelly loose?
Yeah, he said he wanted to go. He wanted to go half on a baby with her by peeing on her. That's what he said.
I really thought of R. Kelly or Trump, so. I mean, so maybe they gave R. Kelly out for a weekend, for good behavior. I don't know, but that's wild. Like, he peed on a woman on somebody, right?
Yeah, somebody. Yeah, he peed on her, yeah.
So, like, was he trying to just talk to her and kick it with her? And they say, oh, man, forget that I'm peeing on you instead. Like, what's his end game?
I don't get it.
Yeah. Peeing on women for no apparent reason on the beach. First of all, why is he out there in the first place on the beach sunbathing? But, you know, I don't think she could really get peed on for her efforts.
Exactly. Get this. Florida man cop uses taser on Florida woman, fiance, at her request at Jack in the Box. Then gets suspended after she snitched on him after they broke up because he couldn't perform in bed.
Oh, she set him up nice, man. That's a setup, fellas. But she told her stun him for the taser.
Mm-hmm.
And then told him how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
That was a setup from the get up, man. That dude is a poor staff at the wrong place at the wrong time. And that's what happens, see? He came on short.
Mm-hmm.
Woman scorned. Yes. Has no fury.
Yes, indeed. We're on our last three stories here. Florida man arrested after allegedly performing a box castration surgery out of his home. Why would I go to somebody's home to be castrated for?
And why are you suffering getting castrated? Why are you going to someone's dingy, dusty dungeon or basement to get it done?
Florida man, University of Miami professor, fired after TikTok of pornographic bookmark goes viral.
I said pornographic bookmark?
Yes.
Was he on Pornhub?
Mm-hmm.
See, Pornhub doesn't get people in trouble, man. These people, just because it's free access now, man, doesn't mean you have to use it all the time.
it can get a lot of y'all in trouble.
Oh, and this is a brother, unfortunately. Florida man who was busted with guns in his car told cops his cousin John Wick was to blame.
Ha! Did they buy it? Did they buy the name?
No.
Because John Wick's a pretty popular movie series. So you got to be under a rock if you're a police officer and you believe that.
Yeah. And we have one more bonus one before you go. A Miami man arrested after misleading investors over some fake coronavirus masks that he had for sale.
Oh, that's grimy, man. He's taking advantage of people who are paranoid and confused and scared. That is wrong on all levels, man. What's wrong with this guy? Well, he say one of us?
No, he was not one of us. He was Hispanic.
Okay, all right. That's still, man. That's terrible. Take advantage of people right now in a crisis who are already on edge, who are already just confused with all the lies stuff going out there in the media. Like, just take advantage of people. That's lousy, man. Real lousy.
So, at the end of Ball Support this week, Bone, what is your take on this week's Florida Man Ball Support? A lot of layers this week. What is your take on everything we heard today?
Yeah, a lot of layers. A lot of people out there who are really dumb. People who, I don't understand the whole, like, peeing on people thing, like, or throwing urine at somebody. I don't understand that. I kind of like the whole thing with the 2x4s, because, you know, we don't really have any spears or rock bottoms this week, but a good old fashioned chair shot and 2x4s are always pretty good.
And a bat shot, too.
Yeah, that's true, sir.
And I gotta say this again. When you cut off your Johnson, you don't hurt them, you hurt yourself.
Exactly. You're not fighting them, man. Like, dude, just don't cut her lawn anymore. Just say, you know, I quit. I'm not giving you free lawn cuts anymore. Don't just cut your Johnson to that. Like, that makes no sense.
And you know what, Bone? You cut it off because she didn't swallow. But she at least lets you, you know, go in her mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, be happy you got that.
You got that going for you, brother. You know, take it as a win.
And you cut yourself off because you didn't get the full Monty?
Yeah, he. I think he won the full service. You know, still, man. That defeats the purpose of having fun. You know, you even get toppy. You know, there's no toppy, no Johnson.
Oh, my God. Florida. I thank you so much. If it wasn't who you were, we wouldn't have a segment every week. So thank you, Florida, for being who you are. So that's all I can say about that. Well, Boom, be safe this week. We'll talk to you again next week, my brother, on the Boss Report here. And I know we have a great fan with a bad beard who listens to it every week. So shout out to him. Screw him as well. So, folks, this has been Boss and Bone, the Boss Report. We out. And if you don't know, now you know.